Son has risen to be our Savior, to save us from our sins. We are so grateful for those high feelings, but we're also grateful that you give us the lows, that you're there, that we know that you walk with us in the low times. Lord, be with us as we worship you this Sunday and every day. Please join us in our next song.
on?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, good morning. So we come now to our time of prayer of the people and our Lord's Prayer. You may have a seat. Bow our heads with me in a time of prayer. We hear your calling, Lord. How can we keep from singing? How can we keep from proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ is risen, bringing healing and forgiveness to all? By the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you have opened the gate to eternal life. We are grateful for your gifts of forgiveness and a new start. Let the obedience of Christ, the righteous one, become the cornerstone of our lives. Help us to bring peace to the world, God. We ask for your care and guidance, your healing and protection. Whether we have seen or believe without seeing, we have found life in your name. In Christ's name, we give thanks and praise, and we rejoice with the words that you've taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Amen. Now I'd like to invite any of our kids that we have up to join Miss Stephanie on stage.
Sure, I get an Easter basket because I love Easter candy. And one of my favorites is Cadbury cream eggs. And this box came with five. And I want you to, and you can't really see it. I don't want you to see it. How many think that there are still a majority of the eggs in this box? There were started with five. Raise your hand if you believe there's more than three in this box. Okay, raise your hand if you doubt it. If you doubt, I probably ate them all. It's gone. Raise your hand if you doubt what I'm saying. Okay. Well, the truth is, I love these, and they're my favorite, but I have to, as I get older, I have to be cautious with how much chocolate I eat at a time, and there's only two left. So, believe it or not, there's only two eggs left. I gave one away, and I've eaten two, and I'm just taking my time. I'm going to savor these. So, sometimes we believe just by what we think, and sometimes we doubt. Do you agree with that? You ever heard of that word, doubt? You know what that means? What does doubt mean?
Something is, you doubt it, and you eat in something, and you have or you haven't.
Okay, so I've got some questions. I want to ask, do you believe this or do you doubt it? Raise your hand if you believe this statement. Pineapples take 2 years to grow. Raise your hand if you believe it takes 2 years for a pineapple to grow. Okay, put your hands down. Raise your hand if you doubt that it takes that long. Okay, well, it's true. Pineapples take 2 years to grow. Crazy, right? Here's another question. A penguin can smell toothpaste from several miles away. Penguin. Raise your hand if you believe a penguin can smell toothpaste from several miles away. And put your hand down if you doubt it. Oh, I doubt it. That is not possible. It's right. It's not true. Penguins don't smell toothpaste from 7 miles away. That's right. So here's another question. It takes over a week to make a jelly bean. Raise your hand if you believe it takes over a week to make a jelly bean. Okay, put your hand down. How many doubt that it takes that long? It does not take that long. Okay, guess what? It takes over a week to make a jelly bean. maybe you got jelly beans in your Easter basket. It took over a week to make that. Did you get some? Okay. So one more question. A tiger's roar can be heard for over 2 miles away. How many believe that 2 miles away you can hear a tiger roar? Raise your hand. Okay. Yep. Okay, put your hand down if you doubt it. Raise your hand if you doubt that it's 2 miles away. So it's true. You can hear a tiger's roar over 2 miles away. That's pretty intense, right? You've got to move off the roar. So have you ever heard of that word, or have you ever heard the expression, don't be a doubting Thomas? Has anyone heard of that? What? You're calling Tommy a doubting Thomas. Why were you calling him that?
Because Thomas.
Yeah, because of the name. So Thomas was what? Does anyone know how that relates to the Bible? A Thomas is a train, yes. Thomas is a train. Yeah, that's right. But Thomas was also a disciple. And did he believe that Jesus was resurrected? No, he didn't. You're right. How do we know this?
In the Bible, it says he wanted to see if it was real.
Right. So Thomas was one of those people that needed to see it to believe it. Right? And that's okay. Is it okay to doubt things? Yeah, it is okay to doubt things. And the Bible also tells us we need to have faith, right? Because we were not alive when Jesus was crucified and then resurrected, right? But we know by having faith and reading the Bible and knowing those stories that Jesus did die and was resurrected. And if we believe in Jesus, what happens? If we believe in Jesus and the resurrection, what happens? What do you think? But he did come back, you're right. But we can also have eternal life, right? When we die, we can go to heaven and we can live with God and Jesus and we can have eternal life. That's pretty awesome, right? So we don't get to see that in action right now. We just have to believe it. We have to have faith. And it's okay. God says it's okay to have faith and it's okay to doubt, isn't it? Because it is okay. Sometimes we need to see to believe. And that's what that's what Anne-Marie's going to be talking today about. It's okay to doubt, but it's also good to have faith, right? We have faith. We have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. If we believe in him, we can have eternal life. Right? Mm-hmm. All right. Can we pray together? All right. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for last Sunday and Easter and reassuring us that when we love and believe and trust in God and he's given his Son to us who died, was crucified, and was resurrected and then went to heaven to live with you, if we believe in that, we can have life eternal. And thank you for these children, and thank you for our church to share with us those stories and to reaffirm that we need to have that faith and that we can love and believe in you and have eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Today's Old Testament lesson is taken from Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." At this time, we will have our offering.
Thank you.
Today's gospel reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. I should have opened the Bible before this. All right, bear with me one moment. Turn to chapter 20. And here we are. Verses 19 through 31. Reads, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.' When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.' But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails in my hand in his side, I will not believe.' A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Hello. Good morning. My name is Anne Marie Webb, for those of you who don't know me. And I am preaching today. So I'd like to first thank you for letting me try my hand at preaching to the adults this morning rather than to the kids. I am the Children's and Youth Program Coordinator here at First United Methodist Church. I mean preaching to everyone, because the kids are totally paying attention during service, right? Well, this morning I would like to do some scripture diving and look at the verses from our gospel reading. So our scripture comes from the book of John and takes place right after Jesus' resurrection. So for the first time since his resurrection, Jesus goes in person to talk to his disciples. He greets them, "Peace be with you," and shows them his hands and his sides. Then they all rejoice and greet him, and then again Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now, I don't know about you, but if it was me who was just about to see my friends for the first time since death, I would probably be super excited, say something like, "Hey guys, surprise, it's me, I'm good." I feel like that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't say, "Hey, it's me." He said, "Peace be with you." Now, they were grieving after Jesus died, right? There was no peace among them. But then Jesus shows up, alive and well, and now peace is with them. Jesus is the peace that's with them again. And then he shows them that he's good. He shows them it's really him, the marks in his hands and his sides, the holes from where the Romans nailed him to the cross. And then when he says, "Peace be with you," again, I read it as, "I am with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I am here now. Peace is here now. So I send you to be the peace." Now, I wanted to walk through Jesus greeting all of the disciples before I come to the one disciple that openly needed some reassurance. Thomas, doubting Thomas. How many of you have heard the disciple Thomas referred to that way? Yep, doubting Thomas. We'll talk about that nickname in a minute. But first, I want us to break down the interaction that Thomas had with Jesus, kind of the way that I just did with the other disciples. So when Thomas arrives, his fellow disciples greet him saying, "We've seen the Lord." And Thomas goes, Unless I see where the nails marked his hands and can physically put my finger in the holes in his sides, I'm not buying it. He just cannot believe. It makes no sense to him. Then a week later, Thomas and all the disciples were in the house again, and Jesus stood among them again saying, "Peace be with you. I am with you." Jesus turns to Thomas and tells him to put his fingers in the wounds of his hands and sides, saying, "Do not doubt, but believe." And after allowing Thomas to explore the truth and Thomas exclaiming that this Jesus is in fact God, then Jesus asks, "Have you believed because you've seen?" He's asking, "Did you need the proof?" Why would Thomas, a devout disciple of Jesus, question Jesus himself? What is Thomas's concern? What will the proof answer for him? So Thomas is standing there, seeing Jesus in front of him. We don't know exactly what he's thinking, but I can imagine some of the questions that he might be wrestling with. Is this really Jesus? Is he real? How is he alive? If he is, are things good again? What if he's just a ghost? He can't really be alive again. He could be aware that it's Jesus, but not be sure it's Jesus in like corporeal form, like a physical body standing there. So I need to make sure I can touch those wounds to know he's really alive again. Or Thomas could be thinking, I know Jesus is alive, but how did this come about? Have there ever been times when you've been searching for answers or an explanation for something that you just don't understand? Like the facts are there, but you can't make sense of how it works? My favorite question is why? I love that question. I used to get in so much trouble growing up asking this question. For instance, at dinner I would ask, why do I have to eat my vegetables? I mean, I didn't like them, so why do I have to eat them? Any other parents get the same question from their kids? Why do I have to eat them? If I didn't understand something, I would just keep asking questions about it. So when I did get an answer, I would then follow it up with, well, why that? And then, well, okay, why that? And then just so on and so on until eventually my parents just said, because I said so. Well, I needed a reason in order to accept it. Now, knowing the explanation to why I needed to eat my vegetables would have brought me some peace of mind. Where does your local assurance come from? What gives you a sense of assurance? Peace be with you. Could Jesus be the peace or answer we're looking for? Can peace be achieved without understanding? You know how we all know that Tylenol helps our headaches, or the other medications might help us get better in other ways? But most of us probably don't know how the medication works. We haven't studied the science behind it or how the body works. But we, for the most part, trust that our medical professionals know what they're talking about. So maybe it is possible to accept something without understanding it. In last week's scripture, there were a couple verses, John 20, verses 8 through 9, that highlight this point. The other disciple with Peter saw the empty tomb and believed, but yet did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. So he believed without understanding. So coming back to today's scripture, the first thing Jesus does after greeting all the disciples is show them his wounds and his hands and his sides. Now, Thomas wasn't there for that, so he asks to see them the next time. The other disciples all had the benefit of not having to ask because Jesus offers that information or proof to them. Isn't it possible that the other disciples needed to see the same thing before rejoicing that Jesus has returned? He showed them his hands and his sides, then they rejoiced. And I say this because Thomas, believe it or not, is not special in this situation. We all have doubts. We all like our proof. So I have heard a lot of sermons over the years talk about this scripture with a message that we need to not be like Thomas, that we need to have faith and never doubt. That is not the message that I want to give you today. I want to talk about how doubting is not specific to Thomas, because Thomas is just being, what, human. How many of you have never doubted a single thing in your life? Nobody? Really? Congratulations! We're all human. Our doubt, it has us searching for answers. It's all part of a journey, our journey of life, our faith journey, whatever journey you're on. Doubt can keep us moving as we search for the truth. Every time we read scripture, something new pops out at us, or we realize something that we didn't think about last time we heard that verse. We may not understand everything we read, and we may have even more questions after reading it than answers we were hoping to find. But you know what we just did with our gospel reading? We wrestled with the scripture, and you listened to my interpretation of Jesus' words. I think the next step is to go home and give it a try yourself. What does the scripture say to you? And what is the action God is calling you to? Wrestle with what it's telling you. Exploring our faith and the understanding of our faith, it helps focus our attention towards God. Now, some warnings. To keep our doubt and hold on to it, to not wrestle with it and process it, is to stay put. We don't grow that way. Doubt can fester. Questions that bring about negativity can cause tension. And when we focus on that negativity, we can be led astray. So we need some kind of balance. We need to be reminded of the truth that we know, what we do know about God and the faith when we come to church. But questions, they may bring tension, and we need to wrestle with that tension. And it is in the wrestling that we grow. We've got to be wrestling and reminded. It is okay to wrestle. It is okay to not know. You just keep questioning until eventually you may realize God is bigger than I will ever understand. God's love and forgiveness is infinite, and that is just something I can't wrap my brain around. And that's okay. We don't have to understand how or why. That sounds simple enough, but man, is it hard. Like, I know I don't need to know, but it's fun exploring it. I mean, that's why I'm in theology. There's a joy to it. There's life that comes from it. Remember how my favorite question is why? Why do I have to eat my vegetables? Why do I have to be quiet right now? Why do I have to say yes, ma'am? Ooh, don't disrespect your parents, guys. If something didn't make sense, I'd just keep questioning it. But when it comes to faith, those questions are not disrespectful. Why do bad things happen? Why are some people mean? Why would God forgive that person? Why does everyone give Thomas a hard time with this faith journey? Or how questions? How does science fit in with the Bible? How did all the animals fit on that boat? How come I can question God but not my parents? These questions, they keep us engaged with our faith. For example, sometimes when I'm wrestling with scripture, I might think, how was God able to do that? Or why would God do that? But then I think, well, God is omnipotent, all-powerful, so God can do everything. Anything. And God has reasons that benefit God's kingdom, God's creation. Just because I don't understand it, that doesn't make it wrong or impossible. When I was little and would ask why I needed to eat my vegetables, sometimes I was met with the answer, because I said so. That did not help me. But sometimes I would get a reasonable explanation. Now, whether or not I got that reasonable explanation didn't change why I still needed to eat my vegetables. The action that was required of me was still the same, whether I knew why or not. What does God require of you, whether or not you understand? Jesus has breathed new life into us all with the Holy Spirit after his resurrection, as our scripture said this morning. It's now our turn to go out into that creation with the faith that we're defining every day. Because remember, it is a journey. And trust that through our doubt and discomfort and wrestling with our faith, that we find the reassurance, some reassurance, that we don't need to understand or have all the answers. We need to know the peace, Jesus, that God has given us. As Jesus tells his disciples, we need to share that peace that comes from God. Share Jesus with the world. However it came to be, he is alive and well and now within us all. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, as the news of Easter energized your first disciples to establish dynamic Christian communities, so energize us to dynamic life within our congregation. As your Spirit gave them courage to stand tall before the powers of the world, so empower us to proclaim your gospel and struggle for justice and peace. By your presence with us now, make us one in love and mission. Amen.
Is true.
go in peace. How about now? Okay. Go with love. Remember, Jesus is our peace and our hope and our life. Wrestle with what God is telling you. Remember the joy and peace that God has given us. And go and share that peace. Amen.